Will you pray for me? Lord, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So have you seen this website, peopleofwalmart.com? It was one of the biggest internet phenomena of 2009. It went viral sometime last fall, and for a while there, everyone was talking about it. It's still easily one of the most Googled search terms on the internet. If you type the word people into the Google search box, the autocomplete will add of Walmart. Here's how it works. If you're shopping at Walmart and see someone extraordinary standing in the checkout line, you snap a picture and send it in. If it's extraordinary enough, they'll post it online along with appropriately hilarious captions. When a friend sent me to the site last fall, I spent a very enjoyable 45 minutes giggling my way through its pages. The parade of mullets, of trashy novelty t-shirts, of ill-matched or ill-fitting clothing, and acres of inappropriately bared flesh, all capped with wickedly funny commentary, proved too potent a lure to tear my eyes from. And I didn't want to even try. I didn't think about People of Walmart again for a long time, but fairly recently I came across it again and noticed a lot that I hadn't noticed the first time around. I noticed how heavily the site's humor relied on fat jokes. I noticed a lot of pictures of transgender people. I noticed that while there were a few deliberately outrageous people there posing and laughing for the camera, that most of the people had no idea they were being photographed, and most of them just looked poor. I noticed that the site referred to the people it featured as wall creatures. And I thought, what the hell is wrong with me? Why did I think this was funny the last time around? This is a website about taking pictures of people without their knowledge and posting them online for the world to ridicule. It's designed to allow me to do all the things that I can't do, wouldn't do, if I were standing in line with those people at the store. Things like stare and comment and snicker. Things like avoid looking them in the eyes and seeing a person there, so that I don't have to wonder what kind of life might lead to someone being hundreds of pounds overweight, or what it might be like to be a trans woman in rural Arkansas, or whether there might be a reason that someone would have to wear dirty pajamas to the store. I mean, yes, bad outfits can be funny. But this is grosser than that. This is worse than that, you know. This is a website that refers to its human subjects as creatures. That is just so unsubtle, and yet I missed it the first time around, and I thought that it was harmless, and I laughed and did not feel guilty. How does that happen? I work to be able to recognize the humanity in the people around me every day. I pray hard that God will help me with this. It's my job. So how does that happen? What was so hard, what was so dense about me, what was covering my eyes that I couldn't see that the humor at that site is about dehumanizing people, about taking away from them what God had given them? Where does that shell come from? How does that happen? Now, I don't want to overreact here. I know that as sins go, laughing at peopleofwalmart.com is a pretty lightweight one. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't kick a puppy. I didn't run a giant Ponzi scheme and just ruin hundreds of lives. But don't you know that that same callousness, that same hardening, that same shell that lets me click through a site like that without thinking about it is the same callousness, alike in kind, if not in degree, that lets a murderer do what she does? Don't you think it's the same hardening that makes it possible to abuse an animal or a child or a spouse, don't you think it's the same shell that lets anybody ruin anybody's life in any of a zillion different ways? To live and survive in this world is to filter it. No one can pay attention to every single sound that he hears. No one can respond to every single stimulus that comes her way. No one can pay full attention to every single person that crosses his path in a day. The TV in the next room, the kids shouting across the street, a ringing telephone. We learn to filter these things out as needed and only pay attention to the ones we need to pay attention to. It's necessary for sanity and it's necessary for survival. But it is so easy. So easy for that filter to close. So easy for this hard world to harden it into a shell that does more than simply protect me from extraneous stimuli, but filters out even the personhood of the people around me. Don't you know? Isn't that what let you look at a website that you shouldn't have? Isn't that what lets you walk by the guy on the street asking for change and not even pause? Isn't that what lets you barely pay attention to the latest news from Darfur when it comes on? Don't you know about that shell? When a grain of wheat is growing, it has a hard outer covering. This covering protects it from the world, from getting too wet or too dry or too sun-scorched and dying before it is ripe. But if that grain of wheat is to do what it is meant to do, which is, depending on your point of view, either to fall to the ground to grow new wheat or to be ground up into flour for human consumption, if it's to do either of those things, that covering, the chaff, has to open up and come off. Now, for humans who want to use the wheat to be turned into flour and then into bread, the traditional way to make this happen is to thresh it, to beat the grains until the chaff loosens and falls off, and then both pieces, the wheat and the chaff, are tossed up into the air with a tool called a winnowing fork. The grains of wheat are heavier than the chaff, and so the wind blows the chaff away while the grains of wheat fall back to the threshing floor to be gathered together and used. His winnowing fork is in his hand, says John the Baptist about Jesus, to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. The traditional interpretation of that statement is that some people, the good people, are the wheat, and some people, the bad people, are the chaff. And Jesus' job is to come and separate the two. But I don't think that's what John meant. I think he meant that we are all, everybody, the wheat. I think he meant that we are all, everybody, the chaff. We have all, to a greater or a lesser extent, grown that hard outer shell, that chaff around us to protect ourselves from a harsh and a painful world. I think he was saying that the shell gets in the way, protects us and protects our hearts too much from the humanity around us, sometimes even keeps us from seeing the personhood in the people around us or in the websites we look at. I think he was saying this good news. I think he was saying that Jesus came to take that chaff away from us forever, to destroy it, to show us that even without the protection we've grown for ourselves, we rest safe in the love of the one who looks at us and says, "You are my child, and you are beloved, and in you I am well pleased." Beating the husks off the grain and letting them blow away is the traditional way to remove the chaff from the wheat, but there is another way to do it. You can soak it off. You can put the wheat in water and let the water soften the chaff until it floats away. And this, of course, is the way the Christians do it. It's the way that Jesus did it. He went down into the waters of the Jordan. And when he came back up, something that had covered him was gone forever. When he came back up, he was revealed for all that he was, revealed so fully that heaven itself opened up. And he would live the next 3 years unprotected, looking fully into the humanity of every single person that he met, touching them and loving them and calling them to account and healing them and telling them the same thing over and over and over again in 100 different ways. He went to the Pharisees and he went to the children and the 12 and the 5,000 and Mary and Martha, and he said, "You are God's own child and God delights in you." He went to the overweight lady in the stained, too small t-shirt, yelling at her child in the line at Walmart, and he went to the guy with the mullet, and he said, "You are God's own child, and God delights in you." He went to the woman stemming on Boylston Street, and he went to the guy drunk on rubbing alcohol on the common, and he went to the illegal immigrant working in a nursing home in Dorchester, and he went to the soldier in Iraq and the insurgent in Iraq and the child in a refugee camp in Africa, and he said to all with ears to hear, "This is my own child, the beloved, and I am so well pleased." Now, living without a shell in this hard world the way Jesus did is not easy. Striving to recognize the personhood and the humanity in those whose humanity the world does not want to recognize is dangerous. Living unprotected from the pain around you, the pain of those around you, is risky. Even when it's not dangerous or risky, it still can hurt. Even Jesus could only manage 3 years of it. And you know what the world did to him then. But you also know what God did then. Christians come to the waters of baptism to soften our shells. We go down into those waters to begin the process of removing the chaff from our wheat, to begin to open ourselves to the world around us and the people around us, even the ugly ones, even the poor ones, even the ones who wear neon green spandex onesies to the store. We get baptized. We become Christians to keep those natural filters and those natural protective instincts from hardening so much that we cannot see that everyone around us is exactly as beloved of God as Jesus himself is. For most of us, it will not happen as quickly as it did for Jesus. For most of us, those waters will be soaking into our chaff for a very long time indeed, before it finally falls away forever and we see the world as God sees it in every moment. But don't you want it to happen? Don't you want to be softened? Don't you want to have those scales fall off your eyes? Aren't you tired of being hard? I am. And I know it's happening. I know it's happening here already. I know it's happening because you're here. I know it's happening because you knit prayer shawls, because you give food to the food pantry, because you sing to patients in dialysis, and you serve on the outreach committee, and you give your money and your time to Old South. I know it's happening because you pray for peace and you pray for your brothers and sisters. I know it's happening. But I know it's hard. And I know that most of us aren't there yet. I know that most of us can use a reminder of who we are from time to time, a call back to openness and to God, away from blindness and from bad websites. Couldn't you use a reminder like that? Don't you need to be reminded from time to time of who you are and whose you are? Couldn't you use a little help opening up, just a little reminder that you are beloved, and so is the world? on Baptism of Christ Sunday. Churches down through the ages and all around the world take the opportunity to do just that, to remind themselves of the baptism they have received and the grace that softens the world and the chaff they are trying to shed, to remind them about the God that loves them beyond all comprehension. And we'd like to invite you to do that too. Down here at the head of each aisle, over there and over there, and two down here, are bowls full of water from the Jordan River, the same river that Jesus went down into. As we rise and sing the hymn following the sermon, any who wish to are invited to come forward by the aisle closest to you to be reminded of your baptism. When you get to the front, we will make the sign of the cross with that water on your forehead, and we will say to you, remember your baptism and be grateful. And we will hope that the feeling of that water on your forehead as you go back to your seat will remind you who you are. We will hope, we will trust, we will believe that that water will be softening you as you go. Any who have not been baptized but who would like a reminder of God's love for them should come forward and indicate that either by telling us or by crossing your hands on your chest. We will be so glad to pray a blessing over you. Sisters and brothers, Jesus went down to the water to have the chaff removed and to be revealed as the Son of God. We go down into the water to have our chaff removed so that everyone else might be revealed as sons and daughters of God as well. So, come now to be softened. Come now to be revealed. Come now to be reminded. Come now for amazing grace. Amen.